Mishnah Yomis for Tuesday, the ninth day of Cheshvan, Tavshin Pei Dalad. Masechta Yevamos. We start Seder Noshim today. Seder Noshim, laws related to women, and we start off with the laws of the levirate marriage, or Yevamos as it's called. What does that mean? What is the din of Yibum? Two brothers coming from the same father. Doesn't matter if they're the same mother. They come from the same father. One of them is married and then dies, leaving his wife as a widow without any descendants. No children whatsoever. No children, no grandchildren, nothing. No daughter, no son. In that situation, the surviving brother, usually if there's several, it's the oldest brother, has the mitzvah of Yibum to marry his deceased brother's wife. She's called the Yavama. He's called the Yavam, the brother-in-law. And he marries her and he builds a name for his deceased brother. That's the mitzvah of Yibum. Now, if he doesn't want to, he doesn't have to, there is another option, and that is called Chalitza. Chalitza means she, the widow, and the brother-in-law come to the courts, come to the Beis Din, and he makes a declaration saying, I didn't want to marry the woman, the wife of my brother, deceased brother. And she says that, she gives that declaration, she pulls off his shoe and spits on the ground. And then there's a declaration the Beis Din make as well. This is called the mitzvah of Chalitza. So there's an option. Either do Yibum or Chalitza. Preferably Yibum in the old days. If not, then you do Chalitza. However, the Gemara says that in later times, when they were not doing it with the right kavana, with the right intention, they banned Yibum, they banned that option, and left the only other option, and that is Chalitza. Once Chalitza is given to the deceased, to the widow, then the widow is allowed to marry again, and she's free. Until that happens, she is chained. She's like an aguna. She is called zkuka liyavam if she doesn't have yibum or chalitza. Important to point out also that yibum is a strange mitzvah, because if his brother, his deceased brother, did have any descendants, didn't have any children, then to marry his widow would be a prohibition of the Torah, an incestuous prohibition of Eishes Ach Shelo B'Mokeh Mitzvah. Marrying the brother's wife when it's not a mitzvah of Yibum is a very, very serious avera, a very serious sin, and therefore utmost care has to be taken to ensure that that the circumstances are correct, that there were no children and absolutely no descendants, and furthermore, that there are no problems with the widow in terms of being related to the surviving brother. If she is a relation of the surviving brother, such as Achos Ishtoi, she may be the sister of his wife, in case where two brothers marry two sisters, then there is absolutely no mitzvah of Yibum or Chalitza. It falls away completely. On the contrary, if he tries to do the right thing and build the brother's house and do Yibum, it's an avera, it's a very big sin. It's called Eishes Ach Shelo B'Mokeh Mitzvah. It's called marrying a brother's wife when there's no mitzvah. And therefore, our Masechta, our Mishnah, is going to talk about not only where one of the widows of the deceased brother was a erva, was related to the surviving brother. Is she free? Is she not got any mitzvah yibum? But any other wives, which we call tsoras erva, they're called the rival of the erva, are also completely free as well. And as we'll soon see, not only are they free, but the tzora of the tzora will be free as well. And we'll explain this in the coming Mishnah. Masechta Yevamos, Perek Rishon, Mishnah Aleph. Chamesh Yisrei Noshim, there are 15 women. Poitres Tzorosehen, that will exempt all the other wives, any other wives, but Tzoros Tzorosehen, and wives, and Tzoros of those wives, Min HaChalitza Min HaYibum, Atzaf Olam, ad infinitum. Now, how can you have a Tzora of a Tzora? What does that mean exactly? Two brothers. One brother dies without children. He's got two wives. He leaves two widows behind, waiting for Yibum, both exempt from Chalitza and Yibum. Why? Because one of them happened to be an Ervo, happened to be related to the surviving brother. Maybe she might be a sister of his wife, for example. She's exempt. And if there's any other wives of his any other widows there, they're also exempt. Now, let's say the surviving brother, let's call him Reuven. Let's say the surviving brother Reuven had another brother called Levi. And Levi, there was no problem with relationship with any of the widows of the deceased brother. So Levi comes and marries one of them, marries one of the widow. For example, and he marries the Tzora of the Erva, for example, the one that was not a problem for him. Levi has no problems. He's not related to him or his wife. And then Levi dies, leaving only one brother, Reuven. Well, now there's several wives that his brother Levi has left behind. But one of those wives was the Tzora of the Erva, was the Tzora of the original Erva when it was married to the first brother. Let's call him Shimon. Not only is that Tzora's Erva that Levi has married prohibited to Reuven, but the other wives as well are also prohibited because they are called Tzora's Erva. They're called the rival of the rival. We use the word Tzora as a rival wife because in those days they were like a Tzora one to another. They are rivaling for the attention of the husband often, that's happened. So we say that the Tzora of the Erva is also prohibited. Ad Sof Olam, says the Mishnah, this can go on forever and ever. So if Levi has another brother and Yehuda, and Yehuda marries, and this can go on and on, but they're all going to be prohibited to the surviving brother Reuven. As we said before, or as it's brought down the Gemara, nowadays we don't do the mitzvah of Yibum because people don't have kavana, the right intention. So the Chachamim stopped that option, and now the only option left is really chalitza. That's why nowadays you will not see people doing Yibum now. It's only chalitza. Ve'eluhen, continues the Mishnah. And these are the following are the 15 aroyas, the 15 prohibited relationships, which will exempt the widows from any chalitza yibum, and their tzoros as well. Bitoy, or bas bitoy, or bas benoy. Daughter, if the deceased brother's wife happened to be his daughter, happens to be a granddaughter from the son, or granddaughter from the daughter. Now, when we say bito, his daughter, we mean whether it's a daughter born out of in wedlock, or whether it's a daughter born out of wedlock. Anasase, for example. Same thing with a grandson and granddaughter. Granddaughter from his daughter, granddaughter from his son. Even if it's from his anusa, from a lady that he's raped, for example. Let's say Shimon married Reuven, his brother's daughter. He married the daughter of his brother Reuven, a niece, which is permitted. Then he dies. Shimon dies without children. But he leaves other wives as well. So just like Reuven's daughter, let's call her Rachel, just like Rachel is prohibited, is exempt from any chalitza and yibum, all the other wives of Shimon, his brother, are also exempt as well. And when we say exempt, what triggers is the Isur of Eshesach. As soon as they're exempt from Yibun Chalitza, immediately there is imposed the Isur of marrying a brother's wife, which is absolutely prohibited, except in the exceptional circumstance of Yibum. And if Yibum doesn't apply, back comes the Isur of Eshesach. Let's continue in the Mishnah with the further prohibited relationships. Bas Ishtoi, daughter of his wife, or bas bena, daughter of her son, or bas bita, daughter of her daughter. What does that mean? Let's say his wife had a daughter from a previous husband. So it's really for him, it's like a stepdaughter. But it's his wife's daughter. That daughter will be prohibited to him as well. Not only with that daughter, but the daughter of that daughter. Similarly, if his wife had a son from a previous husband, that's a stepson, the daughter of that stepson is also prohibited. And this is learned from the Pasuk, Ervas Isha Ubita Lo Segale. It's you're not allowed to take a woman and her daughter. you know, to take a granddaughter, or the, from the son, or granddaughter from the daughter, they're also prohibited as well. Continues the Mishnah, Chamosai, his mother-in-law. So, talking here about a case that Shimon's wife's mother got married. Shimon's mother-in-law got married to Reuven, his brother. With their brothers only on the father's side, not the mother's side. And he died. Now Reuven died without children. So you've got the mother-in-law of Shimon now falls before Shimon as Ibum. Well, obviously, Shimon can't marry his mother-in-law. But not only that, if Reuven had other wives, then just like the mother-in-law of Shimon is prohibited and not no mitzvah chilitza Yibim whatsoever, so too the tzoros, the other rival wives, will be exempt from chilitza Yibim as well. Continues the Mishnah, ve'em chamoisai, and the mother of his mother-in-law, ve'em chamiv, and the mother of his father-in-law, would be also prohibited to Shimon. Because of Ervas Isha Vitala Skali, you cannot take a wife and her daughter or her granddaughter. And just like it works with the generations going down, it works with the generations going up. Just like you can't marry a woman and her daughter, you can't marry a woman and then the mother or the grandmother. So therefore, if any of these fall before Reuven, before Shimon, I should say, Shimon has no mitzvah of Yibam Chalitza. They're exempt. Totally exempt. They can marry who they want. Next case. Achosai Me'imoi. His sister on his mother's side. So she got married to his brother. Now remember, we're talking about two brothers that are only half brothers, but they're brothers and that share a common father. Because Yibum only applies to brothers of a common father. Mother doesn't have to be the same. And obviously, in this case, it's not the same, right? Because he's marrying, his brother had married his sister from his mother's side, which is permitted because there's no relationship. Shimon and Reuven and Shimon, for example, are brothers on the father's side. And then what happens is Reuven happens to have a sister from a common mother. They share a common mother, but no relationship whatsoever with Shimon. And no relationship with Reuven, I should say. Reuven is allowed to come and marry, is allowed to marry Shimon's half-sister. It's permitted to him. Now, if Reuven dies without children, and all of a sudden he's got his half-sister coming to him for Yibum, sorry, no mitzvah of Yibum, and all the other rival wives are exempt as well. Next case. Va'achos imoy, the sister of his mother, his auntie in other words. So what happened is, talking here about a case where Reuven's or Shimon's auntie got married to Reuven, his half brother, and now Reuven died. Again, no mitzvah yibum because then you can't marry an auntie. It's one of the arois. Vachos ishtoi, and the sister of his wife, which means a case where two brothers married two sisters, and then one brother died, leaving no children. Well, again, no mitzvah yibum. Because it's the sister of his wife and all the other rival wives as well. Ve'eshes achiv me'imoy, the wife of his brother on his mother's side. What does that mean? Levi, Shimon had a brother called Levi that was only a half brother on the mother's side. Levi died. His wife got married to Reuven. Reuven now dies without children. And his wives now fall before Shimon for Yibum. And amongst these wives happens to be a woman that was originally the wife of Levi. Well, that wife of Levi is Eshes Achiv Me'imoy. It's the wife of Shimon's brother, but only a half brother. And that's prohibited. As we said before, Eshes Ach, wife of a brother, is only permitted if they share a common father in the case of Yibum. If they only share a common mother, then there's never, ever permitted to marry the wife of one's brother if they're only brothers on the mother's side. And that's what happened here. So now all of a sudden, Reuven dies, leaving a number of wives. One of them happened to be the wife that was originally married to Levi, his brother, his half-brother on the mother's side. Bang, no, there's no mitzvah. It stops completely. Another case, says the Mishnah. The wife of his brother that was not in his world. What does that mean? His brother died without children before he was even born. So there's no din of Yibum. Because the Torah says, Ki yeshvu achim yachtov, when brothers will sit together. They lived in one period of time. And then one of them dies. That can only apply if they were both alive at the time that the brother that the brother passed away. So what would happen if there were three brothers? Now, one of the brothers happened to be at the same living in the same time period as the brother that died, and he did Yibum. But that brother also died, leaving a number of wives. All of them now fall before the brother that wasn't around when the first brother died. Well, since one of those women is a wife that was prohibited to him because it was Eishes Achav Shelo B'Lamai, all the others are exempt as well from Chalitz and Yibum. Finally, the last case the Mishnah mentions of the 15 cases, V'Kalosoi and his daughter-in-law. Reuven had a son, and that son died, and the son's wife, that's the daughter-in-law, got married to Shimon, his brother. Now, Shimon had other wives. Shimon dies without children. And all of these wives now, all these widows, coming before Reuven for Yibum. Since one of them, one of those wives, happens to be the daughter-in-law of Reuven, all of them are Asur, because of an Erva. Tzoros Erva, I should say. And all the other wives are potter because they're called Tzoros of the Erva. They're exempt from Chilitz and Yibam. Hari Elo, says the Mishnah, all these 15 Aroyos, Poitres Tzoroseyen, V'Tzoros Tzoroseyen, Amina Chilitza, Amina Yibam, Adzatzof Ha'ilam. They will exempt their wives, their Tzoros, and the Tzoros of the Tzoros, as we explained before, till ad infinitum. But, V'chulan, all these cases of Aroyos, all these cases of women that were prohibited, if they died while the brother was still alive, in other words, they got married to his brother, they were prohibited to him, they were arose to him, but they died when his brother was alive, or they gave miun. Miun means they gave a refusal. A minor who is an orphan from her father, who got married off by her brother, mother or brother, her marriage is only called a rabbinic marriage. And if she wants to get out of that marriage while she was still a minor, she could just present a miyun. She can just make a refusal. I don't want to be married to that guy anymore. And that's it. Because she's underage, she's a minor, she can get out of that marriage by doing miyun, does not need a get, and it's as if she was never married before. So, we're talking here about a case that our Mishnah is telling us that if the Aroyos, if the prohibited woman to the brother-in-law, happened to be a ketana, a minor, orphan from their father, and they gave miun, well, that means that they were no longer really married to his brother. Well, in that case, again, there's not a problem, because the brother that passed away was not married to an erva of the surviving brother. Or in his korshu, or perhaps they were divorced from his brother. His brother had originally a number of wives. One of them was an aroyos to him, was prohibited to him. But the brother had divorced her before he died, leaving the other woman. Or it turned out that the woman that was an aroyos, the offending woman, the woman that was prohibited to him because of this prohibited relationship of an erva, happened to be a woman who was not capable of having children. We call her an eilanis, a masculine woman, whatever that means. There were signs of infertility that she was never, ever going to have children. Now, whenever there's a woman that can never, ever have children, not capable of having children, they're exempt from Yibum Chalitza. There's no din of Yibum Chalitza. And because they're not eligible for Yibum Chalitza, they will not be a problem for the other rival wives, for the other tzaris. In all these circumstances that we've just mentioned, death, refusal, divorce, or Ailanis, any of these four cases that we mentioned, Tsorasein Mutoris. The rival wives are permitted to be married to the surviving brother. And the reason is because at the time they became eligible for Yibum, they were not Tsoris of the Erva. They were not rivals of the Erva. Now, obviously, in the case of the Arois that we found it to be Ailanis, some say it means Shenimtza'u, that they were found out to be that way, which means he didn't realize that they were an Ailanis right in the beginning, and therefore it means that the brother was never married to them properly. It was called a Mekartos. It's as if they weren't his wife. That's what some want to say. But the Gemara actually concludes and says that's not the case. Even if the brother knew jolly well that he was marrying a woman that couldn't have children, so it's a proper Kiddushin, it's not a misled Kiddushin. Nevertheless, the Tsoros, the rival wives, are permitted because the Ailanis, the woman incapable of having children, was not a Bas Yibum, was not capable of having Yibum. And therefore, all the other wives are permitted, not just permitted, but need to have Yibum or Chalitza. They're not called Tsoros. V'i'ata yochel loymar b'chamoysay, over em chamoysay, over em chomev, shenim tzu ailnes ha'meshameinu. Of the four cases that we just mentioned, two of them cannot apply to the case of mother-in-law and father and mother of mother-in-law and mother of the father-in-law. Why can they not apply? Which two can't apply? If they were found out to be ailnes, incapable of having children, or they gave refusal. Why not? Because they can't be Ailanis because they've had children. The fact that they're a mother-in-law means that they've had children before they got married to his brother. And the Ailanis, he cannot have children. Similarly, you cannot say that they gave Mion. Why? Because they've already had children. That means they're adults. Mion only applies to a Ketana, only applies to a minor. As a footnote, should be pointed out to this long Mishnah that this Mishnah follows the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda. If we follow the opinion of the Chachamim, there is actually one more. There's a 16th case of a erva which could apply. And what is that? It depends on, is a man allowed to marry a woman who his father has consorted with? His father lived with a woman out of wedlock and then broke up the relationship. Can he, the son, proper marriage with that woman or not? Our Mishnah goes like Rabbi Yehuda holds, he cannot. A son cannot marry the nusa of his father, cannot marry a woman who his father has lived with. And for that reason, the case of mother is left out of our Mishnah. Because it cannot be a case where one brother could marry a woman who would be the mother of the other brother. But the halacha is like the Chachamim who holds, not so. The Chacham hold that a man can marry a woman who his father has lived with, but out of wedlock, without marriage. And according to that, it is possible to have a 16th case. And that is a case where the wife of his brother is his own mother. And how's that? Reuven marries a woman who Shimon's father had lived with, had an affair with. Again, Reuven married a woman who Shimon's father had lived with. Shimon is the brother of Reuven. They're both brothers of the mother's side, of the father's side. And Shimon happens to be born from that relationship. Shimon is born by that anusa. Reuven dies now without children and now leaves behind this woman, this widow. But the widow is the mother of Shimon. That can happen. And according to halacha, therefore, this would be a 16th case which patters the Tsarasein, being a case of the mother. This will only work according to the Chachamim, and therefore, as we said before, this Mishnah is following not the Chachamim, but following Rabbi Yehuda. That's why there's only 15 cases, not 16. Mishnah base. We continue from the previous Mishnah, and we give examples of what we learned there, that an Erva will exempt the Tsara, the rival wife, and the rival of the wife from Chalitza and Yibam. Ketzad Poitres. How do the 15 Arois that we mentioned in the previous Mishnah, how will they exempt their Tsarasein and the Tsarasein from Chalitza and Yibam? Let's explain. Says the Mishnah. Let's say you have the daughter, his daughter, or any one of the other prohibited relationships, was married to his brother. Right? Daughter of Reuven was married to Shimon, his brother. V'lo yishacheres. But Shimon had another wife apart from the daughter of Reuven. Umais, Shimon dies without children. So you've got two wives now left before Reuven. The daughter of Reuven and the rival wife. What does Reuven do? Says the Mishnah, Kishem Shebiz Ha'Petura, just like his daughter is obviously exempt from Chalitza Yibam. She's also, it's his own daughter. It's an Arava, it's an Arayas. Kach Tzoros Ha'Petura. So also the other wife, the other widow, is exempt from Chalitza Yibam, just like the Arava was. Now, Holchot Tzoros Bitoi, V'nisses Lachiv Masheni. Let's say now, the Tzor of the Bitoi, let's give her a name, let's say Rachel. Now, Rachel was not the daughter. Rachel was the tsar of the daughter. She was otherwise. Rachel goes and gets married to a second brother. So there's another brother that Shimon has. And he had no problem with these two Yevamas. They were not his daughter. There were no problem there. So he had to give Yevam to one of them. And he happened to do it to Rachel. All right? He happened to do it to Rachel, who's the tsar of the daughter of Reuven. And she gets married to, she has a Yibam with Levi. And Levi happens to have another wife as well. He's not related at all. V'meis, and he dies. Levi also dies with that children. So Reuven now has to face two wives of Levi. One of them happens to be Rachel, who was the tzara of his daughter. Says the Mishnah, Kashem Shetzara's Bita Petura, just like Rachel is Potter, is exempt from Chalitza and Yibum. She was also, when she originally fell for Yibum, became eligible for Yibum from Shimon, ineligible, we should say. Kach Tzara's Tzara'sa Petura. So also the Tzara of the Tzara. Now the other wife of Levi, the other widow of Levi, she's called the Tzara of the Tzara. She's called the rival wife of Rachel. She's also exempt to Yibum and Chalitza Yibum. And the reason is because once the zikah, the connection of Reuven, is gone from the tzara of the bitoy, she becomes now prohibited under the classification of eishes ach. Now remember that eishes ach, a wife of a brother, is one of the royas, only permitted in the circumstance, an exceptional circumstance of yibum. So now it returns back, if there's no yibum, to the royas of eishes ach. Afilu hein mea. Continues the Mishnah. Even if there's 100 such cases, 100 brothers. For example, if the other wife of Levi, the tzara of the daughter of Reuven, now gets married to Yehuda, their brother, and Yehuda has another wife, and Yehuda dies without children, then both of them will also be prohibited to Reuven. Why? Not only the tzara of Rachel, which is the tzara of the tzara, but the other wife of Yehuda, who will be now the tzara of the tzara of the tzara, will also be part of the Yehudaism. And this goes ad infinitum. This can go on forever. As the Mishnah says, even 100 brothers, it'll all be exempted. Why? Because it all started off with that first tzara, the first erva, and the tzara of that erva. Ketzadi meisu tzarasein mutaris. Continues the Mishnah, how is it that if they died, the tzaras are permitted? If his daughter or any one of the prohibited relations was married to his brother, let's say the daughter of Reuven was married to Shimon, his brother, and Shimon had another wife. At this stage, both, of course, two wives, one of them is an Arava. But then, then the daughter of Reuven dies, or is divorced from Shimon. And then Shimon dies without children. Then Shimon dies without children. In such a case, Tzorosa, the other wife of Shimon, who was originally a tzara of the daughter of Reuven, but now no longer, Mutaris, is permitted to have Yibum to Reuven. Why? Because at the time that she falls for Yibum, at the time that Shimon the brother dies, she is no longer called a tzara. She is no longer called a wife of the daughter because the daughter had died or the daughter was divorced. And therefore was never married to his brother at the time he died, or wasn't married at the time he died. V'chol ha'yecholah l'mayin, and any woman, any yavama who anerva, who is still a minor, who is able, if she wanted, to refuse to be with her husband, doesn't even need a get, she can get out of it like that. But she actually didn't. And her husband died now without children, tzarosa chaletzis. The tzara, the rival wife, should do a maisa chalitza. Why is that? That's because the kiddushin, the marriage of an orphan who is a minor, unless it's married by her father, but married by her mother or brother, is only a rabbinic marriage. It's only medivrei sofrim. And because it's only a rabbinic marriage, there is no strength to the yibum marriage. She cannot do a proper yibum. And because she cannot do a proper yibum, it's only midrabanon, the zikah is only connected midrabanon, therefore she doesn't exempt the rival wife from chalitza. The only time that a tzara can be exempt is if the erva, if the offending, or not offending, but if the prohibited woman, prohibited wife, was properly married to the brother. But here it's not properly married. She's only a rabbinic marriage, so it's not strong enough to take away the zika, the connection to the rival wife. But v'lo misi abemes, nor can she have yibum. Why can't she have yibum? Because the time that she fell for yibum, she looks like a tzar of the daughter. The Chachamim said, "We're going to have it both ways. We're going to say yes, she's considered prohibited enough to stop the rival wife getting yibum, but not strong enough to take away from the zikah, and she needs to have the rival wife needs to have chalitza."